For a few seconds to read the room. Double your pleasure, double your fun. We're back. Ask the Stripper Podcast. Producer Dylan here.
It's the twins, and we brought our twins.
Oh, we're talking about my sister Brooke's boobs.
Yeah, they're out. They're but out and about today.
Should we give them some background where they came up?
Yeah, they've come up today, apparently.
Oh, okay. Do we need to introduce ourselves? I don't know.
Might as well.
Might as well.
I'm Molly. This is the podcast that I do.
Yeah, this is her show.
I'm her older sister, Cookie.
And she's also, you know, dirty, dirty sex worker.
Filthy.
Yeah. Mud or just blood. A regular one. But her boobs came up today because she cleaned my car and I didn't notice. We drove all the way here and then she looked at me and was like, ahem. Yeah. And was trying to get me to notice that she had spent this time. My car was disgusting. I'm a very messy person. And I'm very unaware of my surroundings, obviously, by the rest of the story, which is I look at her and I'm like realizing she wants me to notice something and I'm not sure what it is. And all I can notice is that her boobs look huge. And I was like, what? Are your boobs done? They look great. Like,
yeah, I had a dentist appointment this morning and I got my boobs done, had time to clean your car and came back to show you.
I was confused, but that was the first thing I thought of rather than that I'd been riding for 10 minutes in a very clean car. And then she acknowledged, she's like, I cleaned your car. And I was like, oh, yes, you did. Oh, my God, look at it. It looks brand new. It's never looked like this since the day I took it off the lot.
And it's a year old.
It's not. It's not even a year old.
It's
not even a year old. But I have put 16,000 miles on it, which is pretty decent.
Good on you.
And like, yeah. Less than a year, right? I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually 12,000 a year, right? I don't know. For insurance purposes, I've been asked that once or twice.
I don't know what
it
is.
Which is a weird thing to...
But, yes, so Brooke brought the twins. Her
I did.
Big, giant, perfect, natural boobs.
That I did not have time to get done this morning.
Mine are natural as well.
Oh, I like.
Oh, natural.
Need to wear something a little more revealing next time.
Men really prefer that, so you know it's good that yours are natural.
Yeah.
But they're quite hairy, sorry.
We could take you in for a session on that.
There's men that like that, I'm sure. There's probably a market for that.
Totally. Bears.
I wax my nose.
Hey.
So
I should do that. It's time.
Look at the amount of nose hair. Protruding. Yeah. No, there isn't. There's nothing. There's like peach fuzz around the end.
Well, I notice it.
Pretty cute.
When I start whistling, that's the best time.
That's a sign.
Yeah. That's how you know it's time. It's the alarm that goes off. The nose whistle.
So we're not here to talk about my nose.
In other sexy news.
Yeah, we get off on tangents occasionally. But what we'd like to discuss today, my sister, because she's here, and maybe get kind of her feedback, especially on what we talked about last week, which was I had someone talk to me or ask me about getting into the industry. She's 30, and I was like, bitch, I'm 35, so yeah, you'll be fine. But and then I mentioned you, because you got into this at what age?
38.
38. No way.
Yeah. So I will be 42 this year.
And you've been doing this for 4 years?
It will be 4 years next year.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, that's blowing my mind right now.
It's
I still
crazy.
Think of my older sister as my baby stripper.
She did. She trained me.
Yeah.
So I came out from California for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And she taught me the wise ways of stripperiness. I wanted to go back to something you just said really quickly because I feel like so often one thing that's misunderstood specifically with women and in this industry is calling a woman a bitch. This is a term of endearment in our industry.
Yeah. Like, bitch. I think in a lot of cultures now, it's definitely.
Yeah. And so I wonder, when people hear this, if they, you know, aren't around women that talk affectionately this way with each other and teasingly that they might be offended. Like, you weren't saying that in some derogatory way. You know, it's just bitch. this reclaim of the female.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Derogatory.
I said that about slut the other day, I think. I was like, I reclaimed that word. Or the word stripper, even, because there's, you know, a period of time, I think, where there was, or even now, that there's strippers that don't want to be called strippers.
Yeah, I had someone say to me in a DM the other day, like, I don't think of you as a stripper. I'm like, well, that's weird, because I am.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm definitely a stripper.
Is that bad? Like, when you say that, you're like, oh, don't call yourself that. You're so much more than that. Wait a second.
Yeah, which I guess that offends me.
Yeah.
That like, offends me.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be kind or whatever and sweet, and so I'm not usually going to, like, be jump offended, down their throat, but, yeah. But I'm like, why should I be ashamed about that?
Yeah, I'm confused. Like, I'm proud of the job that I do, the money that I earn, and the ways that I use that to improve my life and the life of those in close proximity to me.
I met a very enlightened man last night who was very cool. He's an attorney from LA, and he was just really great. But he really said that some of the nicest things anyone has ever said to me about the industry, about his perception of dancers. And I'd kind of told him about, you know, a lot of the women I know that are highly educated, either going to school or finish school and continue in this industry. And I was like, and he was like, he's an enthusiast. He goes to a lot of strip clubs, and he has experienced the same thing. And he was like, well, I just don't see anything smarter that you could do, even if you're paying for school, that's great. You're giving yourself a leg up, you know, to have a great income while you're in school. He's like, if it's after school and you're trying to save some money while you're doing entry-level jobs or whatever, like, and maybe you're going to start a business, whatever. And he just was very enthusiastic about it. And I was like, I like this human. I like that he really gets, like, this.
Yeah.
And, you know, isn't in here going, oh, these poor, pathetic strippers and their sad little lives. And I'm like... When some people talk to me like that, it makes me really angry.
Yeah, bothers me too. I've lived a lot of life before becoming a dancer, and had a lot of jobs. And I mean, from working for an ad agency and becoming a graphic designer, and, you know, freelancing. You do that too. That's awesome.
A lot of the.
Oh, I love.
We'll just say where we are. We're at the Wise Guys. We're in the green room, lounge. And there's tons of Wise Guys posters. Majority of them. We've
never said where we are.
Yeah.
That's so
but
funny.
All the posters that cover the walls.
And they're all like signed by all these great comedians that have come through here.
I didn't do all of them. There's some older ones that I didn't
But you
do.
Designed a lot of these.
Yeah, I love these. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of everything, you know, and then coming into this industry, I feel like for me has been a life hack, which is you try to find the balance for yourself anytime you end up working with having a personal life and maintaining the things and the standards for your life that you want, also against making money. And sometimes you sell your time for a lot less than it's actually worth, and you end up neglecting things that are actually really important to you in your life. And I feel like coming into this industry has given me the opportunity to earn at the rate that I would like and have the time to enrich myself and my family's lives in the ways that I was unable to working full time.
That's exactly what this guy said last night. He said, he's like, there's anyone who's talk shit on, like, oh, you're a mom and you're a stripper. How could you? You know, gross. He was kind of like, what better thing could you do for your child than be able to have enough physical time for them, emotional energy for them and things like that, because you don't have to work as much, which is typically the case for people in our line of work, is that they, you know, don't have to work these, you know, 40, 60 hour work weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, real quick, jumping back to the Wise Guys thing, we have not mentioned every single time we've like alluded to that we do the podcast here, but have we gotten the green light from?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll edit this out.
Yeah. This might be on the.
I'll ask him before this goes up.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. But yeah, we've kind of just like alluded. We're like wanted to mention it for some reason because we're here. This is the surroundings. And then.
This is a cool spot to be for a podcast.
It's
I
so
feel
cool.
Like the energy here is intense.
That's exactly
cool.
What I feel. Yeah. Like I look around at all these comedians. I'm like, they've all been through here. And I'm just sitting
There's been
here
a lot of laughter.
Talking about myself, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, so kind of coming back around to the question about the age thing, and also this is something I've talked about on here, which is how limited my perception is, because I work in Salt Lake City at a very specific club that works a very specific way. And so I try to like remind people of that when I'm talking about what I think about that. So I'd love to hear your perception as coming in as someone older and then the typical age of, you know, this industry.
Yeah.
And then also how different it is where you work.
Yeah.
You know, in California. California. Yeah.
So I started here and, you know, starting in Salt Lake City felt very daunting to me for several reasons. One is we grew up here. We know people here. The stigma associated with becoming a dancer, and then also the physical demand and also the pressure of looking a certain way here in Salt Lake City that I have not found is true in any other place that I've danced.
Salt Lake City's number one for plastic surgery. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
That's intense.
There's documentaries about it.
I've definitely felt that pressure since I started dancing here, which is to look a certain way and to move a certain way and to have this specific body type and facial look and hair type and just all of those things that felt very daunting to me. So when I first started dancing, you were training me at the gym and I was dieting and I lost probably like 30, 40 pounds. I tried not to like do the number thing because it was important to me to be healthy, but I also felt the pressure of like, you need to have a certain body type to dance here. And so I tried to fit into that, and I worked at, should we drop names or no?
I don't know if
that's legal or if they would be bothered by us saying where we were. I don't think
it's illegal to mention clubs, even if it's, you're going to say something negative.
Well, I started at a club here. Yeah. I'll just leave it general. Okay. So it doesn't have to be edited, but, I started at a club here and did well and lost weight way more rapidly once I had started dancing and toned up very quickly and then had tried to audition at your club and they told me that I had tone issues and that, you know, I should spend the summer at the gym, which is their slow season, and then come back in the fall when I looked more like the body type of that specific club that they were looking for. And as I was there last night with you actually visiting, I noticed, and I hope this doesn't offend you, I don't want it to, but it was hard to distinguish between the girls, even though they have very different looks because they have all this cookie cutter style of body.
I've heard that, yeah.
And I'm like, why wouldn't you want more variety? Why wouldn't you find, you know, girls that had, you know, a broad spectrum, because there's such a broad spectrum amongst men about what is attractive and what physical types they like. And I feel like men even are shamed by that in the same way women are. Like they come in with their friends and their friends are like, you got to get the hottest girl here. You got to tip the hottest girl here. And you can't like anything outside of that.
And they want to base it on, do my friends think she's attractive?
Do my friends think she's cool?
Because I want to be the big guy doing, looking, you know, cool, spending the money on what my friends perceive as the hottest girl here.
Yeah.
And I want that clout.
Yeah, and not necessarily what I actually like in women.
What you're actually attracted to.
And I feel like men need a little bit of reprogramming when it comes to this stuff, either with each other or the alpha, you know, kind of chest beating where that's concerned, where like, hey, like it's cool to like whatever you like as long as it's within the realm of consent.
I gave you permission, like, to share with me whatever you're attracted to, although it may differ from what I'm attracted to.
Yes. And it's cool if we like different things. You've just increased your dating pool by liking something different than what your friends like. So
yeah. I read something recently and I'd love to hear Dylan's perspective, but it was talking about this exact issue. Actually, it was a comedy thing. I didn't even read it. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I read it in a very intelligent book. And then other times I'm like, oh, no shit. That was a quote from a comedy clip I watched. But it was a guy talking about just even the tiny amount of feedback they get from their friends when they introduce her to their friends. And they want to get like, oh, yeah, wow, bro. Or like, yeah, she's gorgeous. Or even just some kind of acknowledgement. Yeah, that like she's attractive and how important that is. And so I was thinking as a guy, like, is that something you have experienced or with other men or with yourself or?
Or the, on the opposite end, have been shamed for?
Not really. I never had like a bro pack or anything.
Yeah.
You know, and when I used to go out to the clubs like every Friday, like I was telling you about, you know, we were kind of accepting of all sorts, because we went to, what was that one down by Five Alarm? It's not there anymore. It's one of those check places now. But there,
Portical or?
No, it was strip club.
Oh, it was a strip club. Oh, the goat something, or is that the one?
No, that one was downtown. Oh. Down here.
I don't know. I wasn't around. Yeah, I was still Mormon and married during this time.
They had more of a variety. You know, there were some older women there. There was.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we really didn't experience that. You know, when I was married the first time, she was quite pretty, but nothing really there either. I just kind of had friends, and they were just kind of accepting.
Yeah.
So I never.
Sounds like you had a good group of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a good dude. That makes sense. It makes sense that, like, your friends would be cool like you, and maybe not as struggling with this kind of culture that we're talking about.
And maybe that's just specific to coming to the strip clubs. Maybe these dudes have a good group of dudes around them, and then this is just like one of those such, you know, visceral type environment.
It definitely brings out a certain side of
the Neanderthal.
A lot of things I've seen, and tell me if you've seen this, is groups of guys coming in who one of their friends acts out really badly, and they're just mortified.
Yeah.
And they're literally like, I've never seen him act like this in my life. And I can tell because it's happened so many times, and I'm like, this seems to be a pretty true story that they're like. And so I've kind of said to people, I'm like, if you want to get to know someone for real, bring them to the strip club and see how they talk to strippers. Because yeah, like some of them will come in here and they're like, yeah, baby, shake that ass, turn around, let me see them titties. And their friends are like,
can I touch it? Is it real?
Like
trying to get a thumb in there.
Which like some people will listen to this and go, well, yeah, that's how you talk to strippers. And I will be like, no, sir, you are part of my minority of people who come in who are not gentlemen.
Yeah.
And because most people I deal with don't talk that way.
And I also find that there's a lot of men that come in that just don't know how to talk to women in general. And that's what they come in for, is to have that.
I have heard that a lot.
You know, that training of just being around in proximity to a woman and having.
Being comfortable.
Yeah, being comfortable.
Getting the immediate practice.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard from a lot of guys, is that it's made them feel really confident talking to women, because they come in, we're all so friendly, we're excited to see them, and we sit and chat with them. And now they're getting more and more comfortable with like. Having that, you know, dialogue and communication with women where they've really struggled.
It takes so much of the bullshit out of male and female dialogue, I think, honestly, to have a very understood transactional type of communication.
You are paid to entertain me and talk with me.
Yeah. And that feels more comfortable than the uncertainty of, you know, how is this woman judging me? What is she looking at? How do I fit into this world, you know, it's a good.
So we got off thing. Back to what you were saying. I know we kind of went off there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, I left Salt Lake City to move back to Sacramento, where I wanted to try dancing out in the Bay, and so I went and auditioned at the clubs off of Broadway in San Francisco, and got hired at all of those places, which really blew me away, because I had dealt with so much body shaming and rejection here in Salt Lake City that I was like, it's hard to put myself out here and go do this audition at this club, because you have to get fully decked out with other girls and clients on the floor and dance for managers who pretend to not be looking at you. And then they take you to like the office to assess whether or not you're employable. And it just, it felt very daunting. But then to be hired at each place that I went, I was like, wow, maybe I don't look so bad. Maybe I could do well in other places other than Utah. And so I decided that I wanted to dance at Penthouse. I guess I shouldn't, I don't know, whatever. You can edit it out if it has an issue. But so I decided to dance there and did really well. And really enjoyed it, and then proceeded to gain back the 30 pounds that I had lost and do even better as I gained weight. So it just seems like a moving target. Yeah. So I wouldn't say to anybody that had a question about like body type or things like that, that that's the thing to focus on. It's actually being a nice person and employable and
a hard
consistent
worker.
And a hard worker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing up on time. and, you know, doing your best and learning the hustle.
Yeah. So. I think there's, you know, obviously a huge element of, you know, aesthetic, but I think more than anything, this is a conversation I've had with a lot of women about getting boob jobs, is that like, it's some, I've said, do you make more money? And some of them have said yes, some of them have said, yeah, I make the same or whatever. But overall, the message I've gotten from girls is like that, well, I feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. I feel more confident. And so maybe that's why I make more money.
Yeah.
And so that kind of tells me that, yeah, it's really about like what you're bringing in that way. Like, are you confident in your body type? Are you, you know, showing that? Are you comfortable being sensual? Are you know what I mean?
Yeah. And are you also comfortable with rejection?
Yeah,
that's just a lot of it too, which is you have to be able to be resilient. And if this is going to take away from who you think you are as a person or the value that you perceive yourself to have,
yeah,
you know, you're not going to do well.
Because I think I was thinking this yesterday. There's a lot of I think some of the glamour is very real mm-hmm. about being a stripper. Mm-hmm. But then it's not talked about as much. A lot of the really, really humbling moments.
Oh, yeah. The soft like, underbelly of stripping.
And so, and I don't have to deal with like the rejection of lap dances. I have because I've, you know, tried to work out of state here and there at mm-hmm. lap dance clubs. But I get the rejection of like, there's people in the audience and no one will tip me a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, and then you times people will come up, throw hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
But then there's other times where, yeah, they're just staring at me. And how I have to do mind games to figure out how to deal with this.
Yeah.
That all these people are looking at me and I'm giving my best out there.
Yeah.
And they don't want to give me a fucking dollar.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's this flip side of like, yeah, there's a glamorous parts of it because you're working with these beautiful women. You're making tons of money.
Yeah.
There is like, yeah, this sexy quality to all of it and this lifestyle. But yeah, there's a flip side that's like lots of rejection, lots of moments of like, I got to find a way to be resilient here because this could crush me.
Yeah. No, I've had so many of those moments. I've had people rush to the stage to see me and throw money at me. I've had people get up from the stage as soon as I step foot on the stage with a disgusted look on their face.
And then look disgusted and walk away.
Yeah.
And these are realities of any dancer. I don't know why that is.
You could be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And this is...
And still something you're going to have to
I've seen it happen
deal with.
To women that I would say just are off the charts beautiful. And for some reason, they'll clear the stage on their set. Yeah. And after my set, where I've done really well, I'm like, what is this world? How do you even have any bearing for what is of value here? You know, and ultimately it is what value you have for yourself. And
And sometimes they're just leaving out of convenience or they ran out of money. But sometimes I think they look at you and they just don't like something about you, whether it's that they think you're too pretty and they're like, well, she thinks she's the shit. So
or association. She looks like my sister.
She looks like my sister. She looks like my ex. Yeah. She's, you know, whatever. And so, there's it.
Yeah.
You know, could have really nothing to do with
the
you.
The variables are
it could
infinite.
Have something to do with you. I don't know. But you can't internalize. But that's part of, I think I've talked about that on here or other times where I really try not to internalize in any direction when someone's like, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen or you're the best dancer I've ever seen. And I'm like, okay, bro. Like, nice. And I try to do it just both ways. And then if someone says something shitty or derogatory towards me or like makes it clear like they don't like me and I'm not their type and they want to make that clear for some reason, because some people do. They like want to be punishing or they want to be – I've had someone like admit like, I just felt like I had to take you down a peg. And I think I said to him, I'm like – wow, you felt like you needed to take a stripper down a peg? No one's ever felt that way. No one's ever came in here and felt like for some reason that they needed to like give a stripper a hard time. That is brand new.
Wow.
Your original son.
Women in general are the last people that need to be taken down a peg.
Let's not do that to anybody who's like a minority or like a fringe or, you know?
Let's take the men down a peg first. Yeah.
Well, even then, that's just the pendulum swinging and swinging and never coming to the middle. Like, let's find some middle ground where, you know, you guys get to feel good about the experience. We get to feel good about the experience. Yes. Everybody leaves happy.
Everybody leaves enriched and feeling, I feel good. I mean, that was a great interaction. I feel better off for having that interaction.
For sure, yeah.
I feel inspired in some way, you know, like those are the kind of interactions I want to have with people.
People ask me all the time, men specifically, like, oh, you must deal with so much crap and men must be so awful here. And I'm not an economist. I don't track stats, but my own personal stats in this category are that 99.9% of men are great. And there is 1% of men out there that are awful. I've had a ton of terrible experiences. Yeah,
these
had
are
a lot of really
statistics,
great ones.
And I feel strongly about that. But at the same time, when you see lots and lots of people, you're going to get that 1% somewhat frequently. And so that's where it comes into play, where I'm like, there's enough of you that do come in here with that, you know, that I'm like, you're not special, you're just an asshole, you're just a dick.
I actually would like to find a woman who is interested in taking in this type of data and creating flowcharts on this, because it's, you take in so much more than the average person. I feel like I've lived so many lifetimes and met so many people in this industry.
I hear that a lot about people who start dancing, and I felt the same way after even my first year. I was like, I feel like I've lived many lifetimes.
We need to start recruiting at like Harvard and
well, like one of the
Stanford.
Girls is from Berkeley at Trails. I don't know if I've told
That'd
you that.
That'd be so great. Is she interested in
tracking this data?
And tracking numbers and data.
You want Ray to use that master's degree from Berkeley?
She's new, right? That'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. She'd need to dance in other places though.
Yeah, she's from the Bay.
Pass the coffee. What?
Pass the
Why
coffee.
Didn't she start in the Bay?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I have not. You know, some, like, you could ask me a question and obviously, like, I'll go on and on forever. And then some people, you ask them a question and give you a yes or no answer. And then you're like, okay, obviously they're not trying to share.
Don't have a podcast if you're that person.
Yeah, that's why I have a podcast.
Go, Molly.
Okay. So I feel like we covered a lot of it. Like, I really loved that you went into body image stuff and the age stuff. And I love that we touched on, like, the, you know, men having, like, these secret preferences that they don't want their friends to know about, which often they're at the club with friends and and that kind of.
You'd own it. Like what you like.
Yeah.
Fly that freak flag.
I do feel like there's more of that with this, like, information age. I feel like there is more, like, you see more body positive kind of stuff, I feel like, online a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you see them, a lot of these women with just massive followers and making great money and doing whatever. And so I see that and it's kind of like, okay, that's helping people be like, oh, that's more acceptable. Yeah. And me personally, I have a preference, and I think I might have talked about this. I can never remember what I've talked about on here. And so I just feel like I'm going to do the same podcast over and over again. But my preference in watching dancers are, I prefer them to be a little older. I do air quotes because, like, it's not like they're old comparatively to other women in the industry, but I prefer dancers that are a little older, and I prefer dancers that are a little thicker, you know, like, these are things that for me send the signals to my brain of, like, this is a mature woman who's confident in herself and her sensuality, and that's what I find appealing, because, you know, I'm bisexual, but, you know, much more of a preference for men. And I've dated a couple women, but, like, when I watch a dancer and I'm looking to be entertained and titillated, you know, those are the things I look for. And as a woman, it's really easy for me to tell people that's, you know, that's what I want. I want her to look like she knows a thing or two.
Nobody's going to be like, bro, she's thick. You don't want that.
Yeah. I've never had a woman be like, she's okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, which I don't think men are necessarily doing that. They're just looking for that feedback of reassurance that they're selection is, I think it comes down to, like, competitiveness. Like, I want to have what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I want to tick all the marks.
I want to be competitive and I want to win.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I prefer a thicker woman too. I've married a couple and
nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
But I've also, like, you know, every once in a while seen a you know, a tiny little thing.
I can find really beauty and attraction in just about any woman.
Yeah.
Especially in this industry, I've noticed that, because they tend to bring to the stage like their own personality and their own artistry that I find lovely and attractive. But I just happen to notice I have a preference for
those things.
Most consistently, the women that I'm like, wow, are the women who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take those marks.
Yeah.
Interesting. On stage, the most fun I've had is enjoying myself, not paying attention to what's out there, not catering to anybody or their preference. It's honestly just like feeling sexy and moving in the ways that I find pleasurable.
Yeah.
Up there.
I do a lot of that too, because I find myself being in the industry for a long time trying to cater to what I think people want or what I think will get me the most amount of money. And there's a balance to that where like I can go too far in that direction and I'm really not having fun.
Yeah.
And I think I want to enjoy my job.
And I think people perceive it as pandering when you do that, and they typically don't like it. I think they can. Like,
and then I thought this was really funny. I had a guy who did it, you know, our videos that I got to do for Trails, a cinematographer. He was noticing this move that all the girls do.
Okay.
And he just had a question for me, because he personally did not like this move, but he noticed that a lot of the girls do this move.
Yeah.
And I do this move. And yeah. So he kind of asked me, he's like, why the girls do that? I don't really feel like that's like the most flattering move. And I said, funny story, that's a rainmaker, and it gets most of us a lot of money. And I said, so it may not be your preference, which kind of ties into all the stuff we're talking
now
about.
We need to know what the move is. Yeah. Like, describe the move.
it's industry secret.
it's this one.
Oh, okay, the thigh shaking and
so
the
it's
twerk.
Like a, okay, it's like you're standing and you kind of, there's two ways to do it. One is like to be on your tippy toes and to wiggle your heels back and forth. So your heels are off the ground and then you wiggle so that your butt.
Dylan's trying to do it. Do it. Yes.
So well, you wiggle. We are going to get me dancing at some point.
Yes, oh, please.
That's a that'd subplot so in the great. Podcast.
Okay.
Yes. As soon as we introduce video, that'd be so perfect.
I'll be wrapped around a pole one yes. these days.
Oh my gosh. You're going to get that. Addicted and you're not going to be able to stop.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what happens. Yeah. So I'm going to be able to get you off that pole. Yes. So.
So it's the twerk. It's a twerk.
It's a type, which I'm confused a little bit about what twerking is, because I feel like anytime you're like isolating your butt cheeks or shaking them in any way, I thought is twerking, right? Mm-hmm. But I will do all my twerking moves like in a row. And this has happened a couple times where someone's like, can you twerk? And I'm like,
I just did all the twerks.
I actually think my twerking skills are pretty high level.
They're up there.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not just, yes.
Check
know.
Her Instagram.
Yes, check.
Yeah. And so I'm like, fact I check. Don't know. Do I not know what twerking is? Do you not know what twerking is? What the fuck is
you
twerking?
Should ask. You should have asked them, hey, show me what twerking is and I'll do it.
Yeah. And so I just thought that was really funny that he didn't like this move. You know, and I've heard that with other things. I've heard people say they don't like when girls isolate their butt cheeks or just random things like that. And it just comes down to, again, it's like, well, what are they going to do? Cater to what each of you wants specifically? Like,
can you sign this list of moves that you would
like,
like to see
you to do this
on each
and
set?
Not this, and your body type should be this. And it's like, you're never, that's part of was the advice I gave to this woman who was asking me, because me and that, that's maybe why I can't find it. This message that I'd lost on my Instagram, but she ended up just asking me a ton of questions, and then there was a continued dialogue, so maybe that's why I couldn't figure out. Anyways, I digress. So mm-hmm. she was kind of asking me questions about, it sounded kind of like trying to cater to what she thought was wanted or needed or whatever, and I just was kind of trying to say, like, you will never be all those things. I've had to accept I'm never going to be all those things. You have to find your niche in the industry, because like if you try to be all these things, I said, you will be hugely unhappy. And I've had moments like that, and I've watched other girls have moments like that. And it's like when you're just trying to make everybody happy aesthetically with your dancing and with how your body looks and how your face looks, and your makeup looks and what kind of lingerie you wear and what your hair looks like. It's just like, wow. It's not going
to
be
a lot
any fun.
To consider, yeah.
So yeah, it comes down to
it will diminish
are
your
you
performance.
Enjoying it? Do you feel like you look pretty?
Yeah,
you know, like
that's where you'll enjoy your job the
and
most.
And then you have longevity.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing the thing I've done, where you cater and you're trying to be this and that, and you know, you get burned out and you're not having fun, and then you're not going to make any money because you're going to have these times where you're like, I got to take off like 3 months for my mental health because this is killing me.
Yeah.
But if you are playing and making it fun for you, whether or not the money's good or not that night, you're going to have longevity and you're going to make more money in the long run.
Yep.
Long game.
Yep.
You were talking about your moves, and I don't know if you want this mentioned. You were on Yellowstone.
Yeah. As oh, a dancer. I love. Yeah, pump me up.
And, Kevin Costner.
And we've got that on your website. I was able to strip it off of there, and nice. So it's available to watch. Awesome. Did they give you any instruction, where you kind of left to like do the moves you wanted to?
So yeah, I got to do whatever I wanted because I auditioned. So Yellowstone, if people don't know, is a TV series with Kevin Costner. I'm just going to name drop there because it's a big deal. But yeah, I used to be an actress, and so I actually knew the casting director. And so I had heard about that they were casting an exotic dancer. And I was like, hi, I used to be an actress, and now I'm a professional exotic dancer. So I love this part. And he said, well, we need a couple others too. Do you know anyone? And I'm like, yeah.
One or two.
No, it's just me.
Just me. I'm the only one.
And so I was able to bring a couple girlfriends, and I did a fully clothed in heels audition for the director, which is Nicholas Sheridan. He was on Sons of Anarchy. Amazing director, who's won a lot of awards and stuff, and he was so, so nice. Anyway, so he just had us each dance for a song in, you know, like workout outfits. Like I had like leggings on and a tank top, and then he was like, okay, yeah. Because like, and but part of what the casting director said to me was it was nice to pick. He's like, no actress could have come in and did what you did. These are women who've been working in the industry for years. Like, not many actresses, even if they have dance training, could have come in and danced as an exotic dancer. And we didn't have a pole or anything. We just did, like, floor work and, like, danced in these 8-inch heels. But it's a skill. And so he said that the director was like, yeah, we will cast them. And so...
it's a green light. Go.
Yeah. And so no, it just was freestyle, which is most of exotic dancing, which is part of what's really fun about it. When I try and get into choreography, I don't even know how to do that. Like, I have no... That's my brain is like, I do not have a lot of experience with this. I cannot retain this information. But yeah, so it was fun. He just played music and I got to freestyle. So no, there was no do this move or do that move. We did it many, many times for a couple hours, maybe more than a couple hours, but,
and it was filmed at a club that you've worked at it.
Yeah, I hadn't worked there at the time.
Oh, you hadn't worked there yet. Okay.
It's called Deuces Wild. It's a wonderful club. I love Deuces Wild. It's just a smaller club than mine, and I prefer mine for different reasons. But as a club, I absolutely love it. I would pump up Deuces Wild and say, go check it out. A lot of women that I love that work there.
It's one of my favorite places when I used to go all the time. So
that's I hear from a strip club enthusiast. They're like, yeah, that's the place.
It's cozy. It's
a dive bar, but it's... Yeah. You know, the women are wonderful, and it's really got a cool atmosphere. Yeah.
It's nice.
Anyway, so we filmed it there, and I'd never been there, I don't think, at that point. But later ended up, you know, trying out working there and really enjoyed it for, like I said, it's just different than my club. But so, yeah, we just, you know, we did it different things over and over again. Each time I did something new, and then, you know, when they were editing, I'm sure they picked out what they thought, you know, worked the best with the scene. And and it was fun because I didn't know that the actor in the scene, I forget his name, but he's a well-known actor. But he was watching me. My scene was kind of with him. He's watching me. And I kind of was like, oh my gosh, he's going to be like staring at me the whole time. And then at first I was like, well, that's weird. And then I was like, oh, I just am treating him like a customer. He's playing a customer, so treat him like a customer. So that it was very fun because it just was like this, oh, okay, you're my customer. And normally in this situation, I would feel like, oh, I'm on a job and you're the actor and you're like the big time actor and I'm just like the side actor and, you know. But then it felt fun because it was like the dynamic was different because I was doing my job and I was the stripper and you're looking at me and I got the power. Mm-hmm.
an actress who's a dancer who's an actress who's a dancer.
It's Inception. First of ours.
Would be the same person.
I don't
I feel like
know.
People will listen to this and they'll be like, I don't know who's
talking when. I can't distinguish.
Yeah. Because they're the same.
It's true. I raised her. I'll have you know.
She did. Yeah. It's actually not a joke.
It's
she raised
joke.
Me.
Yep.
Anyways, that's something we can get into another time. I feel like you should come back.
I would love that.
It would be super fun. Come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, every time you're in town. Yep. You're on.
We could do remote if we wanted.
Yeah, true.
We could zoom it up.
Yeah.
Anyways, we've been all over the place. Is there anything else that, what's our time like? How much time do we have?
I don't know.
1:51. What time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're in probably good shape.
Yeah.
Unless you can think of anything.
Sweet. Anything else for today?
Let's think.
Well, maybe let's talk about the differences in California as opposed to here. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There is some very
COVID,
intense.
And COVID stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We could talk about some of that stuff, too. There's a lot of differences. I love California for so many reasons. I obviously bought a house there and live there and love it there and work there and all the things. But there's just some intense dysfunction in the state, as I'm sure there is in Utah too. And maybe I just haven't been here long enough, or maybe I'm just feeling nostalgic about having lived here.
Yeah.
And I just admire the niceness of people here, honestly.
Yeah.
If I took everything out of the equation, any, you know, political agenda, but like
I hear that a lot from people who come
in
town.
Utah are just genuinely care and are nice, and people in California, I think there are exceptions, but generally don't give a shit and want you out of their way. But dancing in California is very different than dancing in Utah. Dancing in Utah has a lot of rules and regulations, which are that you maintain 36 inches of distance at stage, that you have your genitals covered from like I think there's an actual measurement from like where your genitals start to
front,
where your crack ends.
The front of your thong has to be 5 inches, I believe, and like across in width, and then the back needs to be at least 3 inches, and then the narrowest part of the thong can only be 1 inch, or has to be at least 1 inch.
Yeah.
And then also has to be double lined, so it's very like swimsuit type of material.
It doesn't move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pasties. So
and pasties. No areola. No nipples.
And then where you can touch yourself as you're dancing
you
is very specific.
You have to have closed inches away.
Hand if nearing like your chest area. You can't have open
so
palm.
So I don't do that anymore. At other clubs, I've seen that enforced where you cannot touch breast with open palm.
Right.
And that was like a huge deal.
Yeah. So California does not have a lot of specific guidelines about how dancers behave mm-hmm. on stage. So there's no pasties required. There's no like legal thong required for dancing. There's no touch laws about that kind of stuff in the club. So, I mean, if that's something that you're comfortable with, you can invite that
you're
while you're on the stage.
There's no touching laws. Not there's no touching laws.
Yeah.
Because we have no touching laws.
Yes, there's no touching laws.
There's no touching.
Yeah.
But at yours, there's just, yeah.
Touching is encouraged by strippers only.
That's the thing. Can I point out really quickly that when people come from Venice State and they touch our dancers, which is illegal, I still feel frustrated because I'm like, in the cultures I've seen in strip clubs, it still needs to be initiated by the stripper.
Yeah.
So if you're walking up and touching a stripper out of nowhere and then they go, oh, I'm from out of state. Sorry, I didn't know. And I'm like, well, then you still have shitty etiquette because from the clubs I've seen,
this seems like a consent issue. We need to go back to the foundational issues of what you know about consent.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Go on. Yeah. Sorry.
So, California, I've enjoyed dancing there much more than I have enjoyed it in Salt Lake City. Although that changed when SESTA FOSTA passed in 2018. They shut down independent contracts for dancers and made them employees, but then took so much percentage-wise from the dancers that you can't make money mm-hmm. as a dancer out there unless you're willing to have like a minimum wage job.
We've talked about this. This lawyer last night mentioned that because he represents some of the unions and stuff there.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was really interesting. And one of the things he said, I thought that was because I told him it kind of pushed my sister out into mm-hmm. a different, you know, way of having to work this industry. And he said that it's good for people who aren't good at managing their own money, and that it was helpful to people like that, which I'm like, young girls coming in the industry. 18-year-olds. 18-year-olds.
Brand new girls.
Yeah. And he said, but yes, I saw that, you know, a lot of the women who are career in this, you know,
they
got pushed out.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, fucking stupid.
It is. It's so crazy. And it's just promoted where the clubs make all the money and the girls don't. And the clubs just wouldn't exist without the girls. And so to me, that's just unacceptable and backwards and terrible. So what changed for me and what made me leave was that they could now decide your schedule for you, which was part of why I got into the industry. I wanted to decide my own schedule.
Yeah.
And then they could pay you $15 an hour. And then every shift that you work, you had to satisfy a $200 earning mark. And then after that $200 earning mark had been satiated, then you made 50% of whatever you made the rest of the night, and the club got the other 50%. And prior to that, I got to make my own schedule, and I would work Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. And I was able to, as long as I got there, you know, at an early time, I was able to have an 80-20 split with the club, which felt very fair to me based on work versus overhead, you know.
So
that felt terrible to go through that, and I left the club, and most of us OGs left the club.
All the OGs left.
And it did pave the way for, you know, some of the, I mean, it's super popular stripper culture right now.
And it
paved the way for a lot of young girls who don't know a ton about the industry, who don't necessarily come to it for the same reasons that a lot of other women did, be able to come in and work at like a 9-to-5.
And
they seem to like it.
It's a fun job, so I get that. And then they have health insurance and...
Yeah, and workers' comp and some good things.
Yeah, I see both sides of it, but it feels really frustrating. Almost like I wish it could be, you could choose.
Yeah, you should be able to decide whether you'd like to be an independent contractor or 1099, or would I like to be a W-2? Yeah.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense to me.
That would make so much more sense.
Can I have the choice to be responsible with my own money?
Yeah, I'd like to opt out of these bullshit benefits that you want to give me.
I'd like to invest in the ways I'd like to invest.
Yeah.
And
make
some girls, I kind of feel like it's like it might be good for them, but also it's like it could be your choice if you want to spend all your money on, you know, Prada this or whatever. I don't even know if Prada is an important brand anymore.
I don't know.
I don't buy that kind of
Louis Vuitton's big in the Bay.
Louis Vuitton,
Gucci,
you know, and I see some of that, and then some of them have sugar daddies buying all that, and so that's perfect and great and whatever.
Yeah,
it's not what I want to invest my money into. And
but so
for some young girls who, you know, might fritter some of their money away.
Yeah.
I think it could be helpful.
There needs to be some serious financial mentoring in this industry,
I've
tried.
When I've thought a lot about, I do it a lot individually as much as I can, because it's not like I'm a financial wizard or something.
Bitch, stop asking for Louis Vuitton shoes and start asking for stocks.
Right?
Like, what are you doing?
Like,
this asset does not hold its value. Are you insane?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the only thing I really know how to do and that I encourage is I'm like, save all your money. Save all your money. By the way, you know what you should do?
You could save your money
today.
You
should drive a Nissan, and you should save all your money.
Somebody wasn't on a swing set figuring out how to French braid.
Oh my gosh, Brooke, that was such a deep reference. I don't even know why you would go there.
Because you would get it, and that's all I care about.
That's all that matters. Very quickly, we're gonna wrap this up because I feel like we've gone way over, which I think is wonderful. I think this will just be a really long episode.
Yeah, 52 minutes.
Good. Yeah, we usually do a half hour.
Oh, dang. Okay.
But you know, double the pleasure, double the fun.
Yeah.
But very quickly, I will explain the reference Brooke just made, which is that when she comes into town, my hair is French braided right now because she braids my hair. I don't know how to braid. So you'll know when my sister's around or when I'm visiting her, she's visiting me, because often my hair is braided. So yesterday I was explaining to her, I'm like, I don't know how to French braid, which she knows, but you know, we're just talking, and she said, I'll let you go ahead and tell.
I was like, do you know how I learned how to French braid? And to me, these are funny things because I lived at a time where there was no internet in my childhood.
Yeah.
And if you said YouTube to somebody, they'd be like, bless you. So I wanted to learn how to French braid. I was in second grade, and I had tried desperately with my dolls to figure out how to French braid, and just, I was of the disposition, and you can't see this here, but I'm freckled and auburned hair. So like the temper here is real. And I would beat the fuck out of my dolls for my incapacity to French braid their hair.
She started to beat children.
No, I never have beat children. Let's have that said. But my dolls did take a beating.
Yeah.
And they should have taught me better how to French braid hair. They had it coming. So anyway, I was trying to figure out in my second grade brain, so I was like, six or seven, how to French braid. And so I got so frustrated, I left my dolls. Fuck those dolls. Fuck those bitches. And I went outside to swing, and I'm on the swing set, and I'm thinking about it. And it was like this aha moment that like the physics of French braiding came to me.
It's a beautiful mind.
It was, and I was like, oh my god, intense. Like, and I immediately went in and I was like, come here bitch, let's do this. And I French braided that bitch's hair. Oh, so my good.
So I think one of my favorite parts of that story is the rage swinging. You're just
I was rage swinging like
so hard,
sweating. Yes, like going all the way back, straight legged.
Yeah,
and then all the way forward. Yeah, yes, it was happening.
But what else? It's like Brooke's telling me this, and I'm like, I am 35 and don't know how to French braid, and I have never had like the twinkling of, you know, knowledge come to me in this way, much less when I was 7 swinging vigorously, you know, was I touched by this kind of knowledge.
Which is somewhat insane just because YouTube is a thing now and you can literally go on there and go how to French braid and learn how to do that.
You know, I would, but I don't see its importance in my life.
Unless I'm in town,
and then it feels really important.
Super important.
Next time you're in town, we'll make a video, instructional video for YouTube.
Yes, so. Let's do it. How to go? How to braid your stripper sister's hair?
That's a good title. All right, should we wrap this up?
Sure.
Okay, and I'd love to do it again.
I would too. Thank you for having me. We're real this good has at been talking. So fun.
Yeah. Follow Molly on Instagram at Molly the Stripper.
Yeah.
And do you have an Instagram you want people to check out?
Sure, I'll bump myself. I'm at Cookie Cake Rock on Instagram. Come follow me too. That'd be fun.
You can always look through who I follow and you'll see her.
Yeah.
If you're looking for an easy way to find her.
Yep.
And all my accounts are in the mix and following Molly too.
Oh, sweet. I got to follow you. Yeah. We're friends now.
Mr. Mazziotti or Linen Design LLC or. I've got many.
The dog.
Schnauziotis.
Yes.
Aww. Our new puppy, Indiana. Check
cutest
it out.
Dog.
Tell him why it's named Indiana. That's my favorite. Your puppy is named Indiana. Why?
We named the dog Indiana.
Jones. I love it. I thought that was the cutest thing I've ever heard.
That is okay. So cute.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.